This is crunch time for Ringwood Mazda, because as you heard, when it comes to the crunch, you won't get a better deal. We'll give you all the latest deals that are available at Ringwood Mazda shortly. But Ted Richards has joined us after last night's 60-point win up at the SCG over the Blues. Good morning, Ted. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, mate.
There's a fair bit, I don't know if you've got on Twitter or had a look what's going on this morning, but your teammate Adam Goods is right in the heart of a big controversy again after last night. So we'll cut to the chase and have a chat to you about that before we talk about last night's game. What was your thoughts on the ground when Goodsy did his celebration?
Yeah, I was just excited by it. You know, he kicked a good goal, and I was down the other end of the field, and to look up and see him showing his passion and doing something for his people, I thought I was just excited by it.
It's fair to say it's got a fairly divisive reaction around the country.
Yeah, and I sensed that this morning when we went to recovery down at Bronte Beach, and there was that much media down there, and you could see that they were all the cameras are on Goodsy. It was a fair bit different from our normal recovery session.
Did he invite the attention, you think?
A big fan. Was that right?
Goodsy, do you think he invited that attention by his act last night, or did you think it's been an overreaction?
My personal opinion is it's been an overreaction. I was thinking about it after the game and thought, well, if, say, some Indigenous players were to do a similar thing today, in whatever game they're playing in, or tomorrow.
Cyril, for example, at Tasmania for Hawthorn.
He will.
Yeah, yeah. All of a sudden, we might have a great tradition that, you know, Indigenous round players doing something, and this is a celebration, and other than an issue, which some people are making it.
Would you advise, if Cyril did it today, Ted, would you advise him not to run at the Queensland supporters?
I'm not going to kind of put an opinion forth as to who and not to do it to. But from my opinion, as a teammate of Goodsy, what he did last night, I was very excited, proud to be along next to him. The Swans fans loved it. I don't know if I can't speak on the behalf of the Carlton fans, but portions of the game last night, we had a Swans chant going, and for portions of the game, we had a Goodsy chant going. So I thought it was a real highlight in the game last night.
Ted, tell us about Adam Goods and how he's coped with the last 2 or 3 weeks in particular. The booing looks like it's got to him from the outside looking in, and obviously his reaction last night has brought that pressure again, hasn't it?
Yeah, King. Yeah, a lot of people have been speaking about, you know, the last few weeks, but It's kind of gone on for much more than that, potentially, you know, a year or so. So I think his attitude was to always just not talk about it and everything like that. And I think someone finally asked him about it, and he gave his opinion for it. And that's when it's kind of really been brought up into the public with his opinion on it. Full credit to it. It doesn't seem to kind of faze him. He just goes about his business and everything like that. And last night, people are trying to join the dots and say that one thing must have led to another. But I just think it was a real celebration.
Do you feel sorry for him? When you're on the ground, Ted, we'll go back to the Hawthorn game last week, because that to me was the loudest jeering. When you're on the ground, clearly you heard it, absolutely clearly. Do you have time to think about it up one end, or do you just, move on?
I don't think you can pick up when you watch the game on TV about how loud the booing is until, you know, you're watching a game live. I think, you know, when you're watching on TV, you know, quite a lot of the noises from the crowd can be all mixed in. So it is incredibly loud, and so it's not just a minority of the crowd. There is a real portion of people that are deciding that this is what they want to do.
So your thoughts last week when you heard it at the MCG?
I was just disappointed that this is continuing. And But, you know, everyone's entitled to have their opinion on how they want to behave. And but that's just the nature of what some people are choosing to do when they come to the footy.
Ted, you've always been forthright and completely honest. Why do you think it happens?
There's probably quite a few reasons, but I think some people just do it because other people are doing it, and without thinking of the real reason why some people are starting to do it. That's my opinion. I think some people just do it because other people are doing it, and whereas I think if they would have a think about the character of the person and how much they'd love to have a player of that caliber and a person of that caliber in their own team, they should think twice about it.
Do you think the incident, not that you were dancing around the subject, and I agree with you, there's absolutely sheep mentality in Australian psych, there's no doubt about that. But we were talking before about, you know, the incident at the MCG with the young girl, Goodsey's, you know, selection of Australian of the Year, his speeches on Australian of the Year. Do you think, Ted, that Goodsey has stirred a racial element in some people?
I'm not so sure. I'm not sure on if he has or if he hasn't. But if he has, that's not necessarily a bad thing. There is a negative to it, but he's bringing up a lot of discussions with people about behaviour and what's acceptable and what's not. And to be fair, he's copying it in bringing these discussions up, but he's been the face of a lot of these things. But I think that if these topics are brought up, there are a lot of positives that can come from it, and people having discussions with other people and the change that we're able to get in with societies. Hopefully that there are positives coming out of all this.
Ted, have you got to rush off? We've got Eddie Maguire on the line. His name has been quoted by a journalist in asking a question saying that Goods' actions last night, I think, were violent and aggressive. We just wanted to get his thoughts on that happening. Do you need to rush off, Ted, or can we speak to Ed for 2 minutes and come back to you?
Yeah, you can speak to Ed.
We want to ask you about the footy. We want to ask you about the footy and how the Swans are going. So just stay with us for a moment. Ed's just available for a brief period. So let's just have a listen to the journalist from this morning and then just get a quick word from Ed, who's on the line.
Will you lose any sleep over Eddie Maguire's comments?
I don't know what he said.
He labelled it violent and aggressive.
Violent and aggressive. It's interesting. Yeah, look, I haven't seen the comments. If he feels like, you know, it offended him, you know, I feel sorry for Eddie. You know, this is something that a lot of Aboriginal people are proud about. This is something that, you know, you ask any New Zealander person about the haka, do you think the Wallabies get their back up against and fear that that's offensive? It's supposed to be. It's a war cry.
Eddie joins us on the line. Ed, thanks for your time.
Yeah, good morning, boys. I'm totally flabbergasted by all that, but anyway.
Well, that's a journalist in Sydney saying that you labelled the action violent and aggressive.
Well, I think you're being a bit liberal calling him a journalist. I mean, that is the greatest misquote and lie of a situation I've ever heard put to somebody to inflame Adam this morning. I'm not the Minister for the Opposition, Adam Goods. I support Adam Goods in just about every endeavour he's ever had. I'm on Adam Goods' side. Now, you guys, Dermot was sitting next to me last night. We were very, very cautious on the Fox footy coverage and where we saw different angles, Stephen, try and distance the fact that Adam ran at Carlton supporters. The point I was making at one stage was you don't know the camera angles on these things. So we were giving every possible opportunity for us to get to a point where we could listen to Adam, and then we heard his point afterwards, and then we analysed it in the context of world sport and whether or not you should be making pseudo or direct political comment during a game of football. That's all it was. I mean, that's to say that I was violently against it or I thought it was violent or anything else is nonsense. I mean, the act itself of a war cry, by definition, a war cry is an act of you know, guys getting passionate. I've been watching junior football this morning, watching kids do war cries all morning. It's no big deal. I think the context that we were talking about in last night was it happened in front of us. We didn't know. And the first reaction we all had was, geez, we hope that Adam hasn't been subject to more racial abuse. We saw Adam then run past the Carlton bloke, his hands up and do his a war cry, which has only happened, I think, two or three times in the history of Australian and Indigenous culture in this regard. It's a new thing. It was only invented in recent times. So we're all trying to figure out what was going on. And to say that I said it was violent or I was having a go at Adams is just a complete fabrication.
I was listening at halftime. We've spoken to Derm about this and Kingy already. McClure was on the panel. McClure and Dermot said they didn't like it, and Dermot's repeated his call today. Watching last night, I thought you were condemning of Adam for doing it. And then after the game, when the dust settled, because it was a big story. I said before, I reckon Ed had the journalist hat on as well, because it was a big story. As soon as it happened, everyone knew in the journalist world that it was going to be a big story. I thought you were condemning of it, or you're with Dermot McClure. And then after the game, when all the dust had settled and we everyone had heard Adam Good speak, there was a calmness about it. Would you agree with that or not?
I did it straight up as a journalist last night. I was hosting Fox Footy. I wasn't there for any other reason. And I think if you go back and listen to my words, the first thing I did, as a good journalist does, is actually reference it back. And the reference point I was making was back to European and British soccer, particularly in Scotland, where it's actually banned from even making the sign of a cross walking onto a ground because of the sectarian violence that has developed. Now, I've got a bit of background in all this. I've followed this since I was a little boy, so I understand the situation. You know, for me, just talking, you know, today about the whole situation, I still am not mad about it, because I think that one of the great issues and one of the points we're trying to make on Indigenous rounds is it doesn't matter who you are. When you go to play a game of football, there are two tribes. And last night it was the tribe of Sydney versus the tribe of Carlton. And that's why we should all come together and everyone is equal on the football ground. That's what I think is the whole idea of Indigenous round. And then in the wider community, that extrapolates out. Now, I cut Adam Good's absolute slack on this, not that he needs any slack cut from me, but I can see his point of view because he's become such a wonderful figure in the fight, and it has to be a fight because Indigenous peoples have been downtrodden and run over the top of, and marginalised and maligned, and all these things have happened for centuries. So as I think I made the point last night, if there is an issue and people have an issue, then it might be Adam Good's 2, the rest of the society 1,002. I think, you know, I think he's playing catch-up football if he's getting under the skin of people. Now, I made that point on air last night. So, I totally disagree with your assertion there, Mark. And I'm to be perfectly honest, I'm deeply offended that anyone would even try and draw that situation or try to implement me in any way, shape or form of having a different opinion to one that I've expressed continually since the time I could stand up about equality, standing at the constitutional convention in Australia for an equal Australia. That's my position on the Republic, was because I believe that everyone in Australia should be seen as equals. So this is totally anathema to me. But at the same time, as a journalist and a broadcaster, I won't be cowed down in making what was a pretty straightforward assertion of what happened last night. The bottom line was last night still that we have to get to the bottom of, and that is that police and security were called to a section of the crowd in reaction to something that happened on the ground that Adam Goods did, and ultimately I think somebody was removed from the ground. That wasn't great. So park that. Adam's gesture as far as Indigenous round, yeah, that's fine. I mean, yeah, you could have been rehearsed a different way. Maybe it was spontaneous. I don't know. But as for what it was a war cry. It caused a reaction in the crowd, and then from that reaction something untoward happened. What does it mean as far as the political situation is concerned? I stand by Adam Goods' position on Indigenous Australia all day, every day.
Ed, we appreciate you taking a call and clarifying your position.
Who was the journo, by the way?
We don't know.
Can we find out and somebody let me know?
I think he'll be unemployed by the end of the day, by the sound
of it. Well, I'd like to actually just ask him where this came from. I just thought it was an absolutely misleading and a mischievous question to Adam, trying to get a rise out of him, and I think it's disgraceful.
Do you feel like you have to ring Adam Goods to clear this up, Ed?
As soon as I get off the phone, it's the first I've heard of it, I'm going to ring him straight away.
Thanks, Ed. Eddie McGuire there, who was hosting Fox last night. I'm not sure if Ted has stayed with us through all of that. You still there, Teddy?
still here, hello.
Sorry, mate. We do apologise, but it was the only window we had. Let's just talk footy.
There was a game last night.
Yeah, talk footy for a few minutes before we let you go and finish your breakfast or have your lunch or whatever you're up to on a beautiful Sydney morning. How was it mentally going to the game last night? You've been around footy enough to see these situations before where teams have, coaches have changed and they're flat and the injuries and all that. What's it like for the team playing against them?
We actually spoke about it throughout the week, the fact that there are certain positives that can come from a new coach, whether that what that does to the playing group. It's not necessarily a negative. It could release some pressure. It could... We spoke about the fact that they could completely change their structure and their strategy as to what they've been doing the last few weeks. So we kind of had to expect the unexpected with matchups and ball use. So, we kind of went into the game really open to kind of what they were going to bring.
Yeah, last week you were very good when you hunted the reigning premiers. There was no one to hunt this week. What was the mindset?
Well, I beg to differ there. Like we went in with a solid strategy, and we wanted to really get on top in the first quarter, and then we didn't want to get into a stage where we were kind of just gonna, if we were the lead what we got, just then play safe football. So happy with our first half, and it would have been great if we kind of kept on pushing on from there. But I think Carlton ended up winning the last quarter.
They did.
Ted, haven't been the same offensive, slick unit we've seen over the last couple of years in the first 9 rounds of this season. Is there a reason to that? Have you changed the way you're trying to play a little bit, maybe a little bit slower with your ball movement? Because the big scores haven't seemed to have flown.
I'm not aware of that. I thought we still have a good, healthy percentage. So for us, defence always comes first. So we may not have kicked the huge scores that we might have in the past, but I think we're still pretty good at restricting the opposition. But I haven't actually looked at kind of numbers like that.
How and why has Daniel Hanbury returned to the best form of his career, the equal best? I mean, right now, he's probably the second most consistent best midfielder behind Nathan Fyfe. A, how much does that make a difference to your team? And B, what do you think Canterbury did to achieve that?
Hannah's just, he stepped it up again. He's always been an elite midfielder, but you're right. What he's been able to do in the first 9 rounds this year is like nothing he's done in any other season. And he's always had the hardness and the elite running, so it's not like he's worked harder in pre-seasons or anything like that, because it's always been a real standout of his. It's just his resilience to back up each week has been a standout for me. I'd love to say that he made a statement this pre-season and took it to another level, and you know, arguably he might have, but he's always been one of our best trainers. He's always been very mature for his age. But for me, he's incredibly driven, and he wants to kind of get the team going, and he's doing it each week.
Last one, Tim.
Yeah, we're 8-9 rounds in now, and apart from Buddy at training, I'd be really interested to find out who's the best forward you've played on this year so far? On the day.
Yeah, well, Pavlich at Frio is such a tough challenge. One, he's an absolute champion, but two, he's got this incredible group of players around him that are so skillful and equally Ruffy. Ruffy's also an absolute champion himself, and he's got incredible teammates that can put it to a certain shoulder, put it out in front, put it out in behind. So just off the top of my head, they're the two standouts for me. The guys that, one, are great players, but two, have the constant, incredible delivery that sometimes it's just nothing you can do to stop it.
Yeah.
Ted, appreciate your time very much so for being patient with us through all
of
that.
A lot of time.
It was a lot of time.
I would have loved if Eddie could have waited for me, but I understand that it's a pecking order.
No, well done, Ted. I'm playing good footy, pal.
I'm with you on that.
And no cooking shows in the pipeline, Ted?
You're referring to Wellington Ted's cooking show. You've got great memory there, Danny.
Yeah, many years ago. Nothing happening in Sydney along those lines?
No, unfortunately not. Maybe we can get it back.
Every other person on TV's got a cooking show, mate. Yeah. I reckon you deserve one.
It's time.
Wellie and I, we got that industry going. We feel like we were the ones that got in there first.
From UK MasterChef and My Kitchen Rules, eh?
Yeah, not getting credit for all the hard work that we did in that area.
And which one of you two was Gordon Ramsay?
That would be Wellie. Wellie just told me what to do and I did it.
Thanks for your time, Ted. Good luck for the rest of the year. Appreciate it.
No worries, guys.
Well done, Teddy.
Ted Richards at a minute or two away from midday. This is Crunch Time with thanks to Ringwood Mazda. It's been a bit of a different show today.
Dermot's shouting lunch too, which is I've heard.
Sam Rowe is going to join us next, the co-captain from last night.
Robbo hasn't got his wallet and Haddo doesn't use his.
And that's the way it will remain after the break. When it comes to the crunch, you won't get a better deal than from the team out at Ringwood Mazda.